a Wendy's Frosty is something special. And for a limited time, a Frosty is just 50 cents. An American classic for a classic price. It's not quite a milkshake, not quite an ice cream cone. It's definitely chocolate or vanilla. That choice is on you. Use a spoon or a French fry. Anything goes. A Frosty makes summer special. Yep, there's nothing quite like a Frosty. And there's nothing quite like this deal. A Frosty for 50 cents. Get yours before this deal melts away. Small Frosty at participating Wendy's for a limited time.
Blog Talk Radio.
Show. My name is Jacqueline Charles. I am the host of the show. I created this platform to shine a light on people in the communities that are doing great and wonderful things. This platform is to amplify their voices. Tonight, I am so giddy like a schoolgirl. You know, like when you were younger and you had a crush on a guy and you didn't want him to know? Well, these women on my show are my girl crushes, okay? Is it Wednesday? Women Crush Wednesday. Yes. Okay, we timed it right. So let me get rid of housekeeping because, you know, I have people tugging at me and telling me I need to mention this. We are available for bookings, moderating panels, inspirational speaking, which would include health and wellness. Yay, I'm a vegan. Relationship and marriage seminars. This year I'll be married 27 years, so trust me, I got a lot of stuff I can talk about. For additional information, please contact womenareworthy@att.net or 770-480-2269. If you're not following us on Instagram or Facebook, let me give you our handle. It's Women Are Worthy Radio, and Twitter, where women are _worthy. Now, I got to take a drink because we have three wonderful women on the show, and I want to introduce them. But before I do that, I have to say tonight's show, I've completed how many shows? Tonight's show, I've earned major, major brownie points with my husband. My husband can fix anything that has a wheel attached to it. And I'll let you in on a little secret. If you're from New York, especially from Brooklyn, if you had race cars, my husband was one of those guys who would race his car down Fountain Avenue in Brooklyn. And no one could beat my husband. I don't care the expensive cars. He's a rotary man. He's an RX-7 man. He's smiling at me right now. I'm just so happy. Anyway, so I told him I was going to have the privilege of interviewing the women of Zenivo Racing. Zenivo Racing is an upstart, eco-conscious motorsport team driven by women. That's right, women. Now, I was so, you know, the more I got to do research on this company and the women and talking to them and having conversations, you guys will see exactly what I'm talking about, why they were chosen to be on this show. But again, I said they were chosen, but it's my honor that they decided to be on this show. Well, first, let's welcome Jessica Clark. She's their female driver, and in the future, we won't have to use the word female. But for now and for this show, I want to say yes, she's a female race car driver. Jessica is a senior at California State University at Northridge, In the deaf science, she will graduate December 26th. Miss Clark became the first female USAC history to win two championships back-to-back in 1 year. This woman has accomplished so much in her short time on this earth. We will discuss exactly what she's done. So I want to say hello, Jessica. How are you?
Hi, I'm great. I'm so excited to be on your radio show. This is something that's really dear to my heart, which is empowering women. And I just am so excited to see where our conversation leads. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Jessica, you've accomplished so much. We only have a limited time. I could not even begin to talk about, you know, when I was introducing you. But we'll talk about that later. So, please, I don't want you to feel slighted. You've done a lot in your amazing life. Now, the second female on this roster is Miss Gail Parapon. Gail grew up in the racing world. Gail achievements include Triple Crown Championship, the 24-hour Daytona, and the 24-hour Le Mans, and other podium finishes. Gail, that's what earned me the brownie points with my husband, that right there. Gail, my husband is in awe of you. Yes, he's shaking his head. He's in awe of you. I can do no wrong. I don't care what I do this year. I don't care if I say I'm going to do something and I don't do it. You guys being on the show, I rock, okay? We'll talk about Gail's efforts in developing the concept of building a global community on a diverse, women-owned and driven NASCAR green team. Hello, Gail.
Hi, Jacqueline. How are you this evening?
Honey, I am over the moon right now, okay? I am over the moon.
I have to find out. What is your husband's name?
His name is Ray, and don't look, no pun intended, Ray Charles. We've heard all the jokes, so don't go there, okay?
Thank you so much for having me and having Nicole and Jessica. We're so excited to be here because, you know, just like you did research on us, we did research on you, and just in having conversations with you, it's just, you know, great minds think alike, and what Jessica said about empowering women and really building that sense of community around women that are doing good things in the world.
Oh, thank you. But, you know, I'm going to say this from the bottom of my heart. Thank you for giving birth. Thank you for having the concept and executing and giving for Zenevo. I really want to thank you for what you're doing. You know, I thank you from the bottom of my heart for actually doing this.
Thank
and
you,
now,
Jacqueline.
You're welcome. And now for our third and final phenomenal woman, I'd like to introduce Miss Nicole Myers Henderson. Nicole's father introduced her to the world of racing ever since she was a little girl. She was very young when she discovered by accident that placing her hand on a car, she could talk to it and find out what parts needed to be fixed. We'll go into that later on, but I'm telling you, this woman is a car whisperer. You heard a dog whisperer, horse whisperer. She's also a people whisperer. Nicole's short career as a car whisperer started. She helped race teams find a fixed problem. She fixed the problems whenever there was issues with the car. So with that and without further ado, I want to welcome Miss Nicole Myers Henderson to the show. Hello, Nicole.
Hi, Jackie. You are the bomb.
I can't hold a candle up to you guys. I'm trying.
I love what you're doing, but I especially love that your husband is right there with you, wanting to support you in this, and that it seems that he wants to be in support of women in the industry. So I look forward to see. I'm just like Jessica and Gail. I want to see where this conversation's going to go. I think it's going to be awesome.
And I think it's going to be because, like Gail said earlier, like-minded people. And when like-minded people are on the same page, you have nowhere to go but up, you know, because you continue to support each other. And, you know, I don't give my husband enough props that he deserves because I left corporate America last year, 1 year ago this year. And he's been in support. He supports everything that I do. So I have to give him his props on that, you know, because now it's so hard. But I want to live my dream. I'm living in my truth. So I'm just so, again, honored to have you guys on this show. Now, I'd like to jump right on in because when I sent out, some information about you guys being on the show, I received tons and tons and tons and tons of questions. So I want to get to the questions. Gail, why does the company have five principles, and what are they, and why do you think it's important for the team to uphold the principles?
Great. Thank you. Thank you for those questions. I love things like that when we get to talk about really the meat and potatoes, no pun intended for you vegans and vegetarians out there, but really the principles came about because of different companies that I've worked in different industries. And so as with any of us, we really learn from those companies. What are the great things that they do? What are the things that really work? And then what are the things that aren't so great that could definitely be tweaked? And so in going through multiple industries that I worked in, I just really found that there really had to be a very solid foundation. Not simply a mission statement, but a real solid foundation. And I consider that, you know, based upon those five principles. And so what that was is really providing the opportunities for women in motorsports and women in business. So whether that's providing mechanic jobs, engineering jobs, hospitality, marketing, and management. Because when I worked in the industry, there were little to almost no women in technical roles. And so that really kind of saddened me, and actually it really surprised me. And I really thought that, and there wasn't, social media wasn't really big, and I just thought, you know, there's got to be a way for us to come together. And I thought that if I ever have a company, I'm going to make sure that that's kind of one of the number one priorities, number one principles. The second thing is to have a diverse culture, because I, you know, there's many well-known leaders throughout the world that have said, you know, you don't ever want to get into that group think where you're just hiring people like you, hiring people that look like you, think like you, and have the same background as you. I'm not interested in that. And although I like to think that I'm right most of the time, ha ha ha, it's not true. And I want people that oppose my opinion or that have a different perspective, because that helps you grow as people and that helps you grow as a company. And I think that that's vastly important. Otherwise, if you're not growing, you're just going to die. And so the third principle was really just to have it be where we were going to highlight and showcase all of the amazing energy and clean technologies that are out there. So we're aware of things like coal and natural gas and obviously electrical grids that power most of the homes throughout the world. But there's things that are out there that are just that are coming on board, that have been on board for a really long time, that are free. The wind, the water, the sun, geothermal. And so to be able to showcase all of those technologies in an industry that really isn't known for that, I thought how exciting that would be to bring different partners together from these different sectors and to make this a green team. So not only, I mean, obviously when we're racing on the track, we have to follow rules and regulations with cars and gas and, you know, tires and different things like that. But really at the track, we could run our, you know, pit boxes on solar generators. We can run our transporters that transport our cars and millions of dollars in equipment across the country on biodiesel. We can have nanometer thick solar panels on top of the roof that are generating electricity. And so there's just so many different ways that we can be utilizing that. So one of the additional principles is holistic wellness. And so most of us, just like you, Jacqueline, were talking about being a vegan, and I'm sure that you have multiple reasons why you've chose to become a vegan. And so for me, I like to, you know, I'm not always vegetarian, but I'm really moving in that direction. And I really feel like a plant-based diet is very healthy for us. And if people don't choose a plant-based diet, at least choose diets that are that have a, you know, a higher level of health, meaning more greens in the diet, organic, different things like that. And so when we talk about holistic wellness, it's all-encompassing. It has to do with, you know, the way you exercise, the way you eat, meditation. It could be prayer for some people, a higher power. Utilizing different practitioners and, you know, not only allopathic medicine, but also what they call alternative medicine, which many people, you know, that's not alternative to them. And then the last principle is that we want to be a G-force for social good. And anybody that knows about G-forces and racing and flying and different things like that, it's just kind of a run-on that we've put a service mark on. So we want to be a G-force for social good. So we're actually going to be a certified B Corporation, which is a third-party certification. It's just simply a better way to do business that kind of goes down to a bottom line of financial stability, you know, environmental sustainability. And it really just looks at different principles on the way you treat employees. We'll have things like free child care within our facilities for our different colleagues and team members. And we really want to be a force within the communities that we go to. We're not interested in being some sort of traveling circus and blowing into each of the different cities that we're going to be racing in. We want to be an integral part of those communities. We want to be a blessing wherever we go. And so whether that's helping to upstart, you know, organic farms, providing scholarships, cleanups, you know, helping to set up clean technology centers, getting involved in STEM education in school. There's just a million things that we can do. And so those are really the five principles. And those are things that are near to dear to my heart, and they're things that I live on a daily basis. And the reason that, you know, I partner with Nicole and Jessica and our other two drivers is because they live those principles on a daily basis as well.
See, what I love about this, you're bringing the mind, body, the spirit of, I call it the Holy Trinity approach to racing. You're doing something that's considered outside of the box, but you're doing it now. Later on, in the next couple of years, people are going to catch on. And I want people to understand that you're pioneers. You have to live your life this way. You have to run your company this way. So I appreciate what you're doing, the whole mind, body, spirit. You know, the holistic approach, which is near and dear to my heart. I appreciate what you're doing. And I see here in your mission statement, you know, I'm touched by this. You guys want to honor the human race. How did you come up with that? I mean, people don't understand how important that is, and actually have that in your mission statement.
I think that the mission statement came about when I lived on the Central Coast of California, and I used to sit in quiet time every day. So, you know, people might call that prayer or meditation. But I used to sit in my closet and just sit on some pillows where I could kind of close out the world. And I really started forming the concept of the team, and this was kind of back in 2009. And I just thought, you know, what is going to be some of those founding principles? What is going to be the mission of this organization? And one of the things that I thought is not only is it just the human race, but it's all life. It's all living creatures. So it's the way that we, you know, that we treat, you know, different people of different cultures, the way we treat each other, the way we treat the neighbor down the street that annoys us. Are we being a leader in our own lives? Are we always bettering our best? And are we helping to empower others to find that strength and find that energy within themselves to be the best that they can be as well?
Jessica, I'd like to start with you. Can you please tell us what your role is within the company, and then I'll go around to Gail and Nicole.
My main role would be a driver, because that's what I've been doing for over half my life. But more than that, I think, you know, obviously as a driver for a NASCAR team, you are the face of the team. You know, Gail and Nicole would be more of the lifeblood that's right behind the scenes, but the drivers are the ones who are in the spotlight. And so I think my role is to be a spokesperson for those core principles of the team, and to be the face of and the essence. I have to live the essence of what Zen Evo stands for. So I'm really honored to have that role, for sure. Another tinier role that I would have, hopefully, is to be the yoga instructor. I have my 200-hour certification in yoga, and I teach it on a regular basis, and I would love to bring that to the team and, you know, bring us together and add that wellness, you know, that they are striving for with yoga.
Jessica, I met a young lady the other day, 2 weeks ago, and she's listening to the show now. She's one of three female welders in her company that has over 100 welders, 120 welders, if I'm not mistaken. Okay. She's thinking about quitting. So obviously she's working in a male-dominated, you know, industry. She's thinking about quitting. This is what she told me. She can't do it. And I told her, no, you got to listen to this show. She's thinking about quitting. People keep, you know, telling her she needs to do something that's more feminine. You know, can you address her and tell her what you're going through or what inspiration can you give her that she should still stick with it? Because when I did talk with her, Jessica, she loves it. And she says majority of the time the guys are coming to her for advice. So can you please, you know, give some inspiring words to a woman like that, please?
Absolutely. And you hit the nail on the head when you said that she loves it. I mean, if you're loving what you're doing and you're passionate about something, regardless of what we've been socially programmed to believe or not believe, that shouldn't have an effect on your decisions that you make. You need to follow your heart. You need to follow your passion, because that's how we give to the world. If you're living in your passion and if you're living from your authentic self and you're living an inspired life by welding and welding is an art form. I mean, anything is an art form. So is driving. It depends on what you're interested in, but I would say 100%. If once somebody says something to you or you get the vibe that people don't want you there, you need to be in a more feminine job, whatever that is, take a deep breath. Maybe close your eyes. Maybe go in a closet like Gail and sit on some pillows and think about what you truly love, because that's all that matters. And if you're bringing your heart to your work, you're making the world a better place. It's not about these huge, grand things. If you are living from a place of love and inspiration and passion, you're making the world a happier, more joyous place because you're happy and joyous.
I like that. Gail, I need you to address that as well, because I met a woman. She's a plumber. I'm starting to meet women who are, because of you guys doing things that are considered male-dominated, and I wish we could remove those language, those words, and just say, okay, she's a plumber. Because later on, I don't want to have to keep, when I'm addressing Jessica later on, let's say 2-3 years, female driver. I just want to say she's a driver. So for the other young lady who's a plumber, she's an older woman. This is her second career. She loves it, but she doesn't want to tell her friends what she's doing. Gail, can you please address someone like that?
You know, when I was just going to be going off to college, I was 17, and I decided I didn't want to go to a 4-year university. So I boldly announced to my mother, I want to be a mechanic. And that was met with a shaking of a finger and a nodding of the head, no. And, no, you need to go get yourself a real degree. And I really was devastated by that, because I thought at the time, gosh, this is my mother. You know, she should be supporting me. But then I had to understand that when people think a certain way and when they behave a certain way, it's cultural, it's environmental, mm-hmm. It's ingrained in their brain patterns and their neurons, and it becomes very habitual. And they think that way. And I feel like when we are growing up and there's this bright, shining light within us, and because of the muddiness of, say, what people say to us or things that have happened to us, we allow ourselves to be suppressed and beaten down. And unless we have a really strong support system around us in some way, or a mentor, or whether that's books or seminars or communities that we can get involved in, it can be a real challenge for any one of us. And so when I first got into the racing industry, I was very much alone, and I was not welcome, unfortunately. And so I can definitely relate to what your friend is saying about that it almost sometimes feels like a hostile environment. Although there were some people that were positive and supportive and encouraging, but I just feel like I'm going to completely agree with Jessica, and that is that when it comes down to it, we just have to realize our own worth. And I think that many of the issues in the world, bringing it down to countries, cities, towns, and all the way down to the individuals, it has a lot to do with self-worth and what we think we're worth. And I think that when we go forward from that place, regardless of, instead of relying upon the external of somebody saying, well, you are good enough, or no, you're not good enough. I mean, we're just like seagrass swaying in the wind, you know, going from the good to the bad, the negative to the positive, rather than standing in our own power and realizing that regardless of what anybody says to us, whether we should be in an industry, whether we should go for our dreams, really doesn't matter. It's about, do you feel that you have the capability and the passion and the drive and the love, like Jessica was saying, to move forward into that dream, into that goal? And that is what matters. That's what matters. Not all this other googly-gark that kind of muckety-mucks up our world and muckety-mucks up our brain. It really is, what do you really want to do with your life? And how are you going to make the biggest impact in a positive way and be inspiring to others? You never know how you will be. And so it's just like what Jessica said. You just got to go for it, and you put your nose to the grindstone, and you get it done.
Well, third person, Nicole, how would you respond?
Well, I'd say that Jessica and Gail both were very thorough. And the only thing that I can offer is that it's important for each and every one of us to connect and help each other shine in our lives. So everything about Zenevo is about community, is about connectedness. It's about seeing the truth and the value in each and every being. And as Jessica and Gail both said, it doesn't matter what profession you choose, if you find joy in it. And I think that's the key, that if you find something that you can be passionate about, then there's your answer. I think most people are just drones. They're slaves to life. They think about getting up in the morning and going to work, and they've got to pay the bills and take out the garbage and raise the kids. And they lose the childhood dreams. Well, I wanted to be this. I remember that I wanted to be a veterinarian when I was younger, but I wanted to be a veterinarian for different reasons. I think that I didn't trust humans, and that it was easier for me to sit in a backyard with a dog that was hooked on a chain that never got to play than it was to deal with all the muckety muck of humanity. And it took years for me to really reconnect with humans and be what I was put here to be. So for the plumber and the welder, and it just so happens I went to welding school and adore it. I love it. I love it. I love it. As a matter of fact, I told my husband when I took the class that I wanted to weld big sculptures that would have to be moved by crane, and I still haven't done it. So the woman who is doing the welding, if you love it, then don't give it up. I think that it's important for you to just find an industry or find a venue that you can really apply yourself and have fun with it. And maybe if you're just welding, let's say you're welding race car seats or you're welding lawn care equipment, then if you find joy in it, that's great. But if you don't, then be creative about what you're doing. Think about creating big sculptures that have to be moved by crane. Get outside of your head, get outside of your body, outside of that box, and let yourself be more than what you've allowed yourself to be. The plumber, there's a lot of creativity even in plumbing. My goodness, I've seen some amazing pieces of artwork for like water features for businesses or homes. So let yourself really daydream about what the possibilities are instead of feeling like you're being funneled down a cattle chute. It's important, and that really my role in Zenith Evolution and Zenevo is in helping people reach their highest potential. It's not about me being on the front lines and being in the spotlight. That's what the race car drivers are for. but I'm there to, as the glue to hold them together, to help them see their value and their worth, and to show them what they can do and be for humanity, and how we can all together in community shift the thoughts and feelings and the vibration of humanity. So don't, ladies, whatever it is you're doing out there, don't give up your dream. Just find new ways of applying yourself to them. Dare yourself to dream.
There's well said, well said. What made you ladies decide to go on this ride, no pun intended, with Gail? What was the deciding factor, Nicole, for you to say, you know what, I'm gonna be a part of this and I'm all in?
Well, when I met Gail, it was during a meditation class in Mooresville, North Carolina, and the gentleman running the meditation had turned to me and he said, "Oh, Nicole, are you still in racing?" And I said, "No." And he said, "Well, you did this, this, and this." And at the time I was patenting a race, or at the time I was in the industry, I was patenting a race car simulator system. And he said, "Well," when I said no, he said, "Well, what do you think about getting back in?" And I said, "Well, that depends on a number of things, but I'm willing to have a conversation about it." So when Gail approached me, there was a lot of those feelings that I had while I was in the industry, those things that Gail, and I think it was Gail that really talked about the old perception of the old paradigm within the industry. And I came through that, you know, that women weren't, I don't know that men were really focusing on women not being of value, but I think that it had been such a male-dominated sport that we kind of fell to the wayside. And they were, most women in that industry were seen as pit lizards, you know, women hanging on the fence and just, you know, all they wanted was to be with the guys. So they were picking out their guy to go home with. And when I went in, I really was focused on achieving something in my life. I wanted, at that time, I wanted to change lives. I wanted to shift perception. I wanted to create something that would save time, money, and their lives. So anyway, I think that, and I kind of lost track of where I was going with this, and I apologize for that. Let's go back to basics.
That's okay. That's okay. You're an empath. You're picking up different vibrations. I get it. Trust me. I get it.
Yeah, so when Gail asked me to come in, all I could do was just jump in. You know, I was like, all right, I'm willing to try.
And my question, I'm going to send that over to Jessica. Jessica, what would you decide to, you know what, this is a team. I want to be a part of this.
Well, it's funny because when I was 14, I made the decision, like, okay, this is what I want. I want to be a NASCAR driver. This is what I'm going to go for. This is what I'm going to put my energy into. And I was on a driver development team that was specifically made for developing young drivers who had the talent to race in NASCAR. And I raced for them for 4 years, and this was some very in-depth training. Everywhere from learning CPR to knowing how to do interviews to tuning on the race car to giving good feedback to your crew chief. So I had that, and I was riding this huge wave of just constant training, and that the dream was NASCAR. And then, unfortunately, that team was discontinued. It was no longer in action. We didn't have a team anymore. And I was left like, oh, my goodness, what am I going to do? I was about 18 at this time. So I started racing with my dad, and we had, you know, a little family-owned race car in a really good series. And then I started the university life and paying for racing and university funds and tuition. It was a bit much for my family, and so I had to give up that good series, that race car that I had, and just focus on school and racing on the dirt, which I love. I love racing on the dirt. And one day I got a phone call, and it was kind of at this time where I'm like, okay, if I'm going to be a NASCAR driver, the team that I want to be on has to be forward thinking and what's the word I want to say? Innovative when it comes to how they approach racing and what they promote. Like, I don't want to be, I don't want to promote things that I'm not fully backing. You know, I don't want to just be this billboard for just whatever, you know. I want to have my heart and soul in it, and I want to promote things that I'm passionate about. And I'm like, well, I don't really know if that exists yet. But I want to say a month later, after I had this conversation in my head, I get a phone call from Gail, and I have never even heard of or talked to Gail before. And she had been receiving my newsletters for years, and I had no idea. And she asked me if I wanted to be on this race team, and she told me those five principles that she talked about earlier. And my jaw dropped. Like, I got chills, and, you know, I'm a big believer in magic and synchronicity. And when you get chills and you just feel like everything is coming together and this is just tailored for you, it's like this big sign from the universe, like, do this. This is it. I was like, heck yes, Gail, I'm in. I was in when you said, hi, Jessica, I'm Gail Pirapan, basically. I mean, it's like this was literally the exact thing that I wanted, and it hadn't existed yet in my mind or in my world, but she had been thinking about it since, what was it, 2009, 2008? So it's just so cool to be in the flow with this energy, I'm a big believer in like minds and like vibrations coming together, building something so incredible, which is why I feel like Zen Evo will have so much success in the coming years.
You know, I agree with you about, you know, being successful in the next coming years, because you mentioned something, and this is what I got out of your conversation, you know, when you were describing this. You were thinking it, and I so believe in power of thoughts, power in words, positive thinking, the universe, the vibration. What you give out is what you get back. Nicole and I think, had like almost a four-hour conversation. That's another show. But I so believe in that. And see, you were thinking about it, and it worked. So now my question is, and I'm going to ask each of you this. And the reason it's coming along, but it's not coming along fast enough. Maybe because I'm impatient. But I need to ask each of you. And I want to start with Gail. Why is it important that women support and empower each other? The reason I need to ask this question, I know we're all on the same page, but I want to get three different perspectives, because people are constantly saying that. I hear women mouth the words, but they're not doing it. So being that three of you are powerhouses, I'd like to hear from your perspective, you know, each of you. So I'd like to start with Gail.
Okay, great. You know, I think when I think about women supporting each other, I think that if you come from a very heart-centered place, and something that when you're stepping outside of yourself and it's not just about you, when you come from a place of wanting to do higher good in the world, wanting to support communities, and you really thrive and feel inspired on seeing success in others and helping them accomplish and reach their goals, I think that when you come from that place and realize that there's enough for everybody, there's enough to go around, the universe is unlimited. God is unlimited. Whatever somebody's word or higher power is, there is plenty out there. We live in a plentiful, abundant universe, and it really comes down to the microcosm of our own thoughts. And our thoughts are what create our reality. Our thoughts are what created the light bulb from Edison. Our thoughts are what created, you know, airplanes flying in the sky. It all began, if you break it down to the very simplest level, it started with a thought. And then that thought went into streams of thoughts. And then it went into habits and patterns. And it went into the intricacies of, say, engineering and different things like that. But I believe that when we come from a place not of scarcity and not of, if you get yours, then I don't get mine, then that's when we stop supporting each other, and that's when we shut off the flow. And that's when we also shut off our own flow, because we're coming from a place that is not for the highest good, not for the highest good of us, and not for the highest good of others. And so I don't believe it's necessarily just a woman thing. I think that it's a male-woman thing as well. And I just feel like when we're from a place of support and love and realizing that no one can take away from us our own dream, that because they get something or they get a promotion or they have a baby or different, that doesn't take away from what we have. And I feel like sometimes we can be, and I include myself in this, too outwardly centered focused rather than inwardly centered focused. And when we can come from more of an inwardly centered focused place and realize our own self-worth and our own value and wanting to empower ourselves and just be the best that we can be, then we can spread that light out into the world. And we can support other women, whether that's making, you know, connections and networking with somebody, helping somebody to get a job, helping them with a skill, just giving a recommendation. It can be very, very small or it can be huge. But I feel like in a patriarchal society, throughout the years, I'm excited that women we see are CEOs of corporations, women have broken through the glass ceiling in different industries, and that is all incredibly inspirational and exciting. And I feel that it doesn't need to be necessarily at that level. It can simply be that you're a welder amongst men, or you have a great creative idea that you want to get out to the world. And to be able to find what I like to call your tribe of women. It's almost like it's not your biological family, it's like your spiritual family. And it's that group of people that are there to support you. And they realize that by you finding your own success and you having success doesn't take away from them. And so they're there standing right there next to you to help to see you succeed.
And see, and I like what you're saying about tribe, because I call them my village. You know, their job is to make sure I don't fall. I'm going to stumble along the way, but if I fall, that's their fault. And the people who I'm accountable for, I'm supposed to do the same thing. Because I was telling someone, Gail, that, you know, someone asked me, well, how do you feel about women supporting each other? So I said, okay, give me a cake, a sheet of cake. They gave me the cake, and I said, okay, in today's society, it's all about the cake is all mine. You go ahead and bake the cake yourself, but this cake is mine. I've learned through, you know, some intense things that I'm doing, Gail and Jessica and Nicole. I want to see that cake. Give me the cake, and I want to take a slice of that cake, and then I want to pass it throughout my village. I no longer need the entire cake and tell you, okay, you need to go to the store, get the ingredients, and bake the cake yourself, because working in corporate America, that's what it's teaching you. It's all me, 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 me. And I'm not thinking that way anymore. I'm thinking it's about us and supporting each other. So I completely agree with what you're saying. Nicole? Your thought?
Yes, dear. Well, I'm not a cake eater. I'll be the one pushing it back to the tribe and saying, please eat that. I'll be very happy to see you happy. that's my life. But I think that it's all about support. And honestly, Jackie, it's time. And it's not about resentment toward men. And this has nothing to do with it. I think humanity has evolved in its consciousness to the point where it's ready for this level of oneness. And that's really all there is to it. I mean, Gail and Jessica, when they speak, are so thorough. I absolutely adore listening to them. And it's difficult for me to chime in afterward or during, because I just feel so strongly about how intelligent and compassionate and passionate these women are. And I really feel like as the team comes together and steps out there, that the rest of the world will get to see that too. And it'll be the first opportunity that they get to eat and feel how profound this consciousness movement is going to be.
When you said that, you brought tears to my eyes, Nicole, and I'll tell you why. And I want to let Jessica and Jessica and Gail know about this. Okay, I'm going to speak to this. Not only did I want to bring you guys up, you ladies on the show, because, you know, Zenevo and the race car driven by women, it's not just that. I had another agenda because I want people to hear that women can work together. Women can support each other. I myself worked in a male-dominated field, and I would hear the doctors say that women can't work together and the things that I would hear. So I wanted to bring you three together because, you know, talking to Jessica is as if I'm talking to Nicole. Talking to Nicole, is the message does not change. And I spoke with you guys individually, and the message, I hear the love, I hear the passion, I hear the I hear everything. Let's work together. This is what we're going to do. So that's one of the reasons I wanted to bring you ladies on this show. You guys have, and I keep calling you guys, excuse me, it's the New York thing, you ladies are doing something phenomenal. But not only you're passionate about it, but you're working together. So I want others who are listening to hear that, yes, we three strong women are coming together, and this is what we're going to do. And it's going to, in the next couple of years, I'm just going to be so happy because I know what, I can feel what's going to happen with this company, that I was on the cusp. I was part of, I had the interview with you guys. Hopefully I won't have to go through a PR person or an assistant when I want to get a hold of you ladies again to be on this show.
No, no.
You know,
Jackie, you'll have VIP access.
I'm going to hear.
Jackie,
you guys,
you'll have
you
VIP
know,
access.
Yes. Okay. Okay. This is tape. Everyone heard that. I'm going to have VIP access. Okay. I'm going to hold you to that. So, you know, to be honest, I'm going to tell you, share a little story with you. When I left corporate America, one of my former bosses, she just sent me a text earlier. She finally quit her job, and now she's doing real estate. She told me that I inspired her because she reads my Facebook page and my posts and things like that, and she said I inspired her. Listening to you ladies today tonight have inspired me and also confirmed that I should keep on doing what I'm doing because my goal is to bring the Women Are Worthy show on television on a higher platform so more people can see that we rock, we kick booty, we can do anything that we put our minds to. So I want to give you, you know, I really want to give you a shout out and give you my gratitude. Because when she told me that, the first thing I thought about was you guys. You know, I said, I have to put you on the radio. I have to listen to you, and I have to tell you guys what you've done for me. I've spoken, I had conversations with you guys individually, and it just further sends confirmation to me that what I'm doing is I'm productive to today's society. And there's something that I can leave. I left a footprint in the sand, and I want to thank you ladies for that. Mm-hmm. So, now, Jessica, as a female driver, have you ever been, have you had any ribbing or any, I guess, trash talk from your male drivers?
No, I haven't. I don't get any trash talk because I'm friends with everyone. I don't show up to the racetrack to separate myself from people. Like, it is competition, and I want to beat every single one of them, but I'm also going to be friendly, and because I race to have fun. I race to win, but I do it because I love it, and it's fun. And I think a lot of the times people might assume that I would be standoffish, and when they realize that I'm not, and that I'm actually a total goofball, they're like, oh, okay, you know, you're cool. I'll totally race you clean, which has been so great because I've had nothing but good experiences with racing, which is why I feel so natural in my place as and role as a race car driver. It's been nothing but welcome with open arms. And what's cool about that is that I didn't really go into it thinking of myself any differently. I see myself as a driver. And when we're out there on the racetrack, everybody is just a car. You know, like, you, when you watch racing, you see cars driving around. You don't know who's in the car necessarily if you're not an avid follower of the sport. And that kind of puts you on a level playing field. That's just how I see it. I just see everybody as a driver. I don't see men as more talented or more powerful than me by any means, and I don't see myself as more talented or more powerful necessarily either. I just see us as drivers doing what we love. And then if you'd allow me, I'd also like to speak to the reason why women should support each other. because I wasn't able to get in on that convo, I just have a short interjection to make. I'm 22 years old. I'm in college, and so you can see my position in life currently is to question things, to question my beliefs, to question the institutions and systems that are in effect in our country and in the world. And I just want to make note that and kind of put this out there for all the women and men listening right now. Question the institutions that pit us against each other as women, and think about the reasons why we're being pitted against each other, and realize that when we are working together and when we support each other, we are freaking powerful. Like, we can accomplish so much, and it's amazing to see once you get into that circle. And me being in this circle with Zen Evo Racing, I'm realizing how powerful it is to support with compassion and love, and not worry about if this person is successful, that's going to take away from my success. That's absolutely not true. I believe that we have unlimited resources in this universe, and everybody's success is your own success if we are all truly one.
Ladies and men who are listening to the show, do you see why I had to have these awesome, phenomenal kick butt women who are powerful on the show? This is the reason. Now, that was Jessica. So I need to ask Gail, what is it, we the public, how can we support you? What do you need from us? Because do I need to go out there with a flag? What do you need me to do? I'm there. What do we need to do to support you guys?
Thank you. One of the things that we just started up is we have, Nicole actually had a nonprofit for quite a few years where she did a lot of work with veterans and PTSD and a lot of work on a spiritual and holistic, you know, health level with them. And so we ended up, she just has a lot going on in her life, and she decided that she was either going to potentially dissolve the nonprofit, or she was going to maybe partner it with Zen Evo. So we actually started, we transitioned it over into the nonprofit side of the race team. So for the race team side, you know, that website is zenevoracing.com, and that's the for-profit side. That is what we consider the marketing arm of our do-good side, of our social good side, our nonprofit side. And so basically, you think about it, it's a 180-mile-an-hour billboard that gets to run around a racetrack with potentially, you know, up to 70 million fans worldwide. And so that's pretty exciting. You think about the sponsors and the messages that can get on board that, and really showcasing and highlighting those companies and causes and individuals to bring them out to that much larger audience. And that's pretty exciting to us, because it's not just about slapping whatever decal or sponsor or wrap that we want to put on the car. We're really making this into something so much bigger and really being able to align with those people and companies and investors that have that mission and that energy as well. And so then on the nonprofit side, which the website for that is zenithevolution.org. And so on that, we have what we call our Grow Green Well program. The Grow one, we basically narrowed it down to three things. We're looking to start up an organic farm where we're going to be not only training veterans, displaced workers, and different communities, people that have, you know, there's such a, you know, there's a high unemployment rate in many of these Appalachian communities. And so to be able to acquire some land
that's, you know, north of Charlotte, possibly into southern Virginia, kind of the top of North Carolina, acquire a large tract of land so that we can put an organic farm, we can train people. But not only that, the big thing that we're so excited about is that on the, that's the grow side. And then on the green side is we're going to be putting up a grid-independent building, completely off-grid. Means we're not connected to coal or electricity or anything like that. The building is going to be run only on clean technologies. And so people think, gosh, you're looking at about 100,000 square foot building. How could that possibly be? So there are commercial buildings here in the U.S. and abroad, but really at that magnitude and that square foot, no one's built that. And so that's another thing that we're wanting to do, is to not only have this amazing building that's going to house the race team, that's going to house the education and retraining and reemployment programs for the Appalachian community, for the veterans, but to house this nonprofit as well. So that's the green side. So we're going to be utilizing the solar, the wind, the water, geothermal, and algae. So algae, people think, algae, oh my gosh, but there are amazing what they call algae walls that are actually glass walls that can be put up, and people can do their own research on that. And although but the combination of all those different technologies, it's completely feasible. And the architect that we're going to be working with is Make DC out of DC, Scott Waldeck. And he has just been incredible and so supportive and has, you know, done things that are well beyond LEED certification, which is kind of the standard for green building. And so he said it's completely possible to do something like that. So we're going to have this grid independent building. And the biggest thing is we want to also make it so it's an environmental education center. So not only can school children, STEM education come through, but there's just a multitude. Imagine going on the tour of this facility. So not only you get to see the excitement of meeting our drivers like Jessica, meeting our management, other women and men that are there, because this isn't an all-women's team. We're looking for just that diversity and that gender balance. And although I don't know if we can make it a 50-50 at this point, that it would be definitely my goal to have it 50-50 on the gender there. But to be able to have this environmental education center to train people on, Nicole is actually a master gardener, and to talk to them just about a better way to live, to eat organic, to feed the surrounding Appalachian communities where, I forgot the actual term, and Nicole might know, where there's many of these communities where they just don't have access to real high-quality foods. And so to be able to provide that would be pretty incredible and exciting for us. So that's the green. And then the well is just short for wellness. And so that is what we talked about with the race team being one of the principles of holistic wellness. That's the same thing. It's partnering with the nonprofit. And that is just bringing in integrative health practitioners to these different communities. And so although, you know, I am a believer in, you know, allopathic medicine, which is, you know, medication and doctors, I mean, what would we do without penicillin, you know, if penicillin didn't come along when it did? But to be able to integrate that with these other practitioners, whether that's energy medicine practitioners, that's chiropractors, that's acupuncturists, different things like that. And so that's the wellness side. And to be able to provide that for local communities that would otherwise never have access to that, but also to provide that for all of what I like to call our colleagues or our team members, or some people like to call them employees. But I don't see myself necessarily above anybody else. I'm just, that's why the name of the team isn't Gail Puropan Racing. It's Zenith Evolution Racing, because it's much bigger than me or any one individual person. So that's kind of the nonprofit side, which we just launched. And we've got some great projects on there that we're raising money for. We're currently doing fundraisers, and people can go and check out the site and really see if it resonates with you. And if you want to get involved as a volunteer, or you know if land is available, or you want to donate to any of our projects, that would be fantastic. We would absolutely love to partner with you. And we do consider
give
that
them
when
the
people
site.
Do
give them the site, please. Give them the site, the website, please, so they can look at it, please.
Sure. The site for the nonprofit, which is, like I said, the social good side for our race team, is www.zenithevolution.org.
www.enith.org. So that's Z as in zebra, E-N-I-T-H, and then the word evolution.org. And then on the race team side, it's www.zenevoracing.com. So those are the different ways
okay.
that people can get involved. And so we are currently looking for different partnerships and sponsorship opportunities with different companies that, you know, align with us. And we're really not necessarily looking for companies that have to be so stringent in their environmental and green policies. We're interested in companies that do have some sort of sustainability program in place. They are interested in, you know, greening their business, and they can even come to us. You know, we work with different experts in the field to be able to assist them in that. And so it's really just about having that partnership and getting those their products and services out to a larger audience as well.
As I mentioned earlier, I'm going to definitely bring you guys on separately because I want to talk about the other things that you're doing because, you know, an hour, a 90-minute interview is just not enough. Nicole, there's no way I can get past this. We definitely have to talk about your gifts. With one method that you utilize, it's to tap the power within. It's called cellular memory therapy. Can you explain briefly to our audience exactly what that is and under what circumstances would someone require that type of therapy?
Sure. So the cells within our body, we have trillions of them. So each cell stores memories, stores experiences. And the cellular memory therapy is just, it's like hypnotherapy. It's a deep state of relaxation where we get past our conscious mind. The conscious mind is the part of us that knows that it has to take out the garbage, pay the bills, take care of the kids, all that. Well, the unconscious or subconscious mind knows what it needs to do in order to keep the body alive. These are the cells, and there's constant cell communication transpiring within the body. So we don't have to tell our eyes to blink. We don't have to tell our tongue to the taste buds to taste. We don't have to tell our heart to pump blood. We don't have to tell our legs to move. It's just something our body knows exactly what it needs to do. So when we get caught up in that conscious thought, it's typically like our perceptions of our experiences that cause subluxations in our lives. It causes illness. It causes injury. So with cellular memory therapy, again, it's just a deep state of relaxation where we tap into the cells within our body, to the God within all things, because we're all made of the same stuff, energy, matter, molecules. We're all made of the same thing. So when we quiet our minds and tap into that all-knowing God, Goddess, wisdom, innate wisdom, then we can extract information or find out what the body needs in order to rebalance itself. So I cultivated the technique over a period of 14 years, and it happened right before I was diagnosed with endometriosis. And as my body was communicating with me, I mean, I felt like my life was being ripped into pieces. My body was trying to communicate with me. It just said, look, you need to change your life, and you need to commit yourself to this process of listening to me because I know better than you do. And I'm going to save your life, but I'm going to save your life because we need you to save other people's lives. And so this whole cellular memory therapy concept came about first to heal me, to lighten my cellular, the burden on my cells in order to help me live different, live a better life, and connect with all things around me. And it wasn't that I was raised around Native American philosophies, but I was drawn to them. So I studied Native American herbology. I studied everything about Native American ceremonies and how they lived and did things. And it became the life breath for me, that it was my connection, and realized that since everything is made of energy, then all things can communicate. So the cellular memory therapy itself, I use it today with patients that have PTSD, fibromyalgia, that have issues in business, athletes that can't get out of their own way. Yeah. to find success and healing. I use it for just about everything. And it's an easy technique. It's just that we have to quiet our minds in order to really tap into that, the cellular body, to extract information.
You know what I noticed, Nicole? Unfortunately, we currently hear stories of some of our soldiers from Vietnam War suffering from PTSD, but we never really hear of soldiers from Vietnam suffering from PTSD. Why do you think that's happening? We know it's happening in the current wars, but we don't really hear much of that with the Vietnam sufferers or the people who went through Vietnam.
Well, I think there's a misconception that many of those people have passed away. I think when people think about the Vietnam War, they think that it's just so far back that there's no reason to focus on it, that it's gone, it's done and over with, and that's not true. I had, when I really realized that I could use it to help people with PTSD, I had a friend come to me, actually was a client at the time, and he came in and he knocked on my door and said, look, I can't go another day with this pain. And I said, well, how long have you had this pain? He said, 36 years. And I said, well, are you ready to heal? And he said, yes. What do I need to do? And I said, come in and sit down. And he sat down, and within 5 minutes, I talked him through this process of just deep breathing and connecting. And I said, okay, so where is your pain? And he says, in my back. And I said, well, take a nice long deep breath, and I want you to ask your body, and you don't have to hear because I can hear your body as I ask the questions. I'm letting my cells communicate with yours. So if you don't hear it, it's okay. I said, ask your body what emotion resides here. So I could see as I looked into his body, I was seeing organs light up and his stomach lit up like really bright. And I said, okay, your body is telling me that this imbalance is held within your stomach. And he said, no, it's my back. And I said, no, honey, your back is just a secondary symptom to your issue. The primary issue here is your stomach. And I said, now ask your stomach what emotion resides here. And as soon as he did, he had this release, and it was such an emotional release, he just started crying, and he was crying to the point where he couldn't breathe, and I could feel it, and his body told me that it was guilt, and he said, I'm ashamed. And I said, okay, well now ask your body to show you the memory connected to this particular feeling of shame, and I added in guilt, and he said, I can't get there. And I said, okay, well, it has to do with food. And he went, no way. That's impossible. I don't have any guilt or shame around food. And I said, look, trust me. I'm listening to your body. This is what your body's telling me. Take a nice long deep breath and let go of any preconceived notions that you have around what this issue is. Your body knows better than you. So focus and just ask your body to show you the memory connected to food, guilt, and shame. And all of a sudden, it was like a bomb went off inside of his body, and he was sobbing deeper than he had ever had in his life. And he said, I'm walking through the battle trenches with one of my other partners in my platoon, and there weren't many of us left. And he said, we were going through the battle the bomb trenches looking for food. And he said, and the guilt came in, and I feel emotional just feeling, going through this memory again with him. But he said, as I was going through the trenches and picking up food, I was eating what I could find before I took it back to any of my men. And he said, and that was a no-no. And in that instant, in that millisecond that he came to the realization that his body told him the truth, the back pain went away. 36 years of back pain went away in a millisecond, and it has not come back. To this day, and I'm good friends with this gentleman, I taught him the technique. He teaches other veterans, teaches others. He's absolutely phenomenal. So
Nicole,
where we think we know what's right for our bodies, we really don't. Our bodies know best.
Nicole, I love watching that movie with Tom Cruise when he says, show me your money, show me the money. And there's a part of the movie where it says, you had me at hello. Nicole, you had me when you diagnosed this issue. So if you heard background noise, I so apologize, Jessica and Gail and Nicole. I was telling my husband to pack my bags because I'm on my way to Nicole's house for her to diagnose me. I was. I did.
That's
I'm like,
how we all
you
feel.
You got to hear this.
What'd you say, Jess?
Like,
that's how we all feel about Nicole. Pack my bags, I'm going to Nicole.
I'm like, dude, because he's talking, and I'm like, pack, and he, you know, so I'm miming it, and he's not, he still has not perfected the art of mouthing words to, when I'm doing it. He doesn't get it, and I'm like, I'm on the interview, pack my bag, come on, I need to go. Okay, without further ado, I want people who are listening to the show to support what you ladies are doing. I love what you're doing. We have the website. I want Gail to mention the website, the Facebook page, the Twitter page. Please mention everything because I want people to be all in the way I am about you ladies.
Okay, so on Facebook, we are, you know, at facebook.com/ZenEvoRacing. And we'd love to hear any kind of questions that you have for us. We're happy to take suggestions and even telling us your story. And then we're also on Twitter at ZenEvoRacing. And it's so wonderful. I oftentimes get private messages on Twitter, and at this time I do read every one of them and happy to respond to people that have stories. I've been able to communicate with young race car drivers, with their parents, with men that are big fans of women in racing, which is so awesome. I love to see stuff like that and their enthusiasm. And then, you know, we were joking around, Nicole and I, because we had posted an article about NASCAR and potentially going electric cars. So a really die-hard, passionate NASCAR fan sent me a private message to the team and had said, this will never happen. Don't you know that we like the smell of burning rubber and burning fuel and this will never happen? And you guys, and he was just so passionate about it. And so I just was really tickled about how forceful he was, how enthusiastic. And I said, I couldn't agree more. I am right there with you. I'm so passionate. I love the smell of all those things as well. And from a very early age, when my father was taking me to the racetrack and I was working on cars, that was the thing that really drew me, and especially the sound. And so his response back to me, because I think he was ready for a fight, and his response back to me was, well, now what am I going to say to you? So it was just darling. I love to, you know, be able to communicate back and forth. And a big thing that we're also – right now we're hiring for a grant writer, and so for our nonprofit side, because we're going to be submitting some grants to different major foundations that we've actually spoken to in the past when we only had the for-profit race team side. But now that we have the nonprofit, we're eligible to receive some of these grants and potential money, and that would really strictly go into purchasing the land and getting some of these clean technology companies on board and setting up the training and employment programs for the veterans and the counseling programs and different things like that. And so we're really excited. So want to put that out there as well, that we are looking for an experienced grant writer. And so you can submit, you can just go to our nonprofit website at zenithevolution.org and get all the contact information and just send your cover letter and resume, and we really look forward to hearing from you.
I can't believe we have 16 minutes left. Where did the time go? I'm having such a fun time. I don't know how you guys feel, but I just had a great time during this conversation that we're having. So 16 minutes, I just can't believe it. ladies, what should the sport could or should do to lure more women to participate in it? Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay.
Yeah, Jessica.
Okay. Thank you, Jessica.
I like to be first. You know, it's the racer in me. I think just as a start, having more female drivers, because that is just, I mean, I can't tell you how many little girl. I mean, I don't walk by a little girl at the racetrack in my fire suit and not see her face light up. Like, they, little girls, seeing the female race car driver, they're just like, oh my goodness, I can do this? And then I go and I say, how old are you? And they're like, I'm 10. I'm like, well, I started racing when I was 11 years old. And they're like, what? And that's just really cool for me. And I think that that's huge. And then also having women on the pit crews and women involved in the behind the scenes aspects. And I think it's also about where the ads go, because we're so heavily embedded in social media these days. All it takes is a mass flooding of information through your eyeballs on a screen or on a phone or a tablet that shows women and their success and how cool it is to be involved in the sport. And, you know, you really just, I think it comes from marketing it. And I think that we will be a huge part in that, because it doesn't really, I mean, they have Danica Patrick, but even then it's not, they don't really promote, we have women
right.
in NASCAR. They don't promote that because there's just basically one, you know, at the highest level at least. And I think it takes more than one. It takes our little community, and that's one of my goals for sure.
Okay, now Gail.
I agree with Jessica. I think that it's not just about bringing in female race car drivers, who often are the main face of a race team. I think that it's really about bringing women in that are in those technical roles as well. And women partners and women-owned companies that you bring in, I think that it's just really all-encompassing. And so to be able to, this would be really exciting for me, to be able to have some of our female mechanics, one of, you know, the potentially have the first female crew chief, and who we would obviously not just slap up there, you know, on the pit stand. We would really work with them continuously, and because we're all about setting people up for success. But also having those mechanics and those engineers go into the school systems to start at very early ages. You know, we could bring a race car to the school and get that set up and really talk to young women, young kids about the sport, about racing in general, and whether that's NASCAR or IndyCar or Formula One or, you know, it really, dirt tracks, it really doesn't matter. It's to be able to say that this is acceptable and you have a support system here and that, you know, we want you here. We want you to be a part of it. This is an inclusive community that we want women to feel that they can be a part of. So it doesn't matter if they're working on our team or not. If they're on another team, I want people to feel free to be able to come to us and talk to us and give advice. You know, I've done that throughout the years with different female race car drivers, females that were trying to be engineers and mechanics, you know, when I was working at some of the highest levels of motorsports. And it was thrilling and inspiring for me to be able to have these conversations. And oftentimes it ended up in tears from both of us because it was so heartfelt. And so we were just so passionate about what we wanted to do. And it was just really amazing. And something that I wanted to say real quick, when I was deciding upon the female race car drivers that I wanted to have on board, and so I really had about a pool of about 48 different women from ages 16 on up. And so over a multi-year period, I traveled to different races throughout the country. I watched social media pages. I watched YouTube videos. I stood next to them while they were talking to fans to really get a feel for what kind of people they were, looked at their websites. And so if I was to encourage female race car drivers and people in racing to really get their name out there, is I completely agree with Jessica, is to have some sort of social media presence. And so please don't post about that you had a fight with your boyfriend or, you know, different things like that. Be a professional and be a leader and talk about the different things that you're doing in racing. There's a great race car driver that we got to meet in Las Vegas when we had Jessica and our other and Leilani come to Los Angeles to test professional race car simulators. And we got to take a trip out to Vegas and meet just an extraordinary young lady who at the time, you know, just was graduating from high school. And her name was Kaylee Barker. And the great thing about her is Kaylee, just like Jessica, just like our other drivers and Nicole and myself and you, Jackie, just has a passion for going above and beyond just what she does on the track. And it's just to be an integral part of her community. And so when I was narrowing this field down, I finally got it down to about 6 female drivers. I personally placed phone calls to them. And you know, for different reasons, it didn't work out. And it really got narrowed down to these 3. And really, the connection that I had with Jessica was this spiritual aspect, this aspect of that I'm here on this planet to do something more than what Nicole said, wake up every day, go to work, raise kids, pay the bills, and have a drink and watch TV and go to bed. There's much more to life than that. And for us to be able to break out of that, and if this organization can be an inspiration for not just women, but for anybody, to show that you don't have to give up on those dreams and those goals and different things like that. They might be shifted or adjusted or whatever it may be, but there's still passion in you. There's still joy in you that you can find no matter what age you are.
This just in, I have breaking news. The judge has just ruled that the ladies of the Nevo have been adopted by Women Are Worthy radio show. Oh, like-minded. It's just phenomenal. I wanted to get in. We have 8 minutes, and so what we're going to do is, no, I'm going to be honest about this. I've received so many questions about you guys individually. I have to eventually come back and circle around and interview you guys individually. I'm getting so many questions about Nicole with regards to, and we have 8 minutes left regarding the cellular memory therapy. Questions about that, Jessica. We have questions about you surfing and about you going to school. So we definitely have to line that up. And then I wanted to get I wanted to talk to Gail, but I don't know if she can make this quick, like maybe 3 minutes. You've taken grad classes in human factors engineering. In what ways have you brought an ergonomic approach to race car racing, to car racing? And that's basically keeping things safe. I know what it means. I'm not pronouncing it properly. You know, it's specifically in the workforce, in the work environment, you know, accidents and just being stress-free and things like that. How have you brought that approach into car racing?
Well, the exciting thing is that, you know, I had basically got my bachelor's in psychology. And after working in that field a while, it can be emotionally a lot of elation, but also very draining. And there was a point where I said to my father, I just don't think I can do this anymore. And he says, Gail, why don't you finally go back and do something with cars or racing? It's something you always want to do. So I ended up checking around at different engineering programs, and I found human factors engineering actually at the same school that Jessica goes to at Cal State University in Northridge. So it's kind of funny that she's getting ready to graduate here in December, and that's my alma mater as well. And so I took some prerequisite classes and took some graduate, you know, classes there. But the great thing about human factors engineering, and some people call it industrial engineering, is really to make things, to me, safer, faster, more intuitive, more productive. And so when I applied that to the cockpit of a race car, NASCAR would be a little bit different because I mainly worked in sports cars and open wheel. And so we would change everything from the actual design of the steering wheel to the switches from toggle to dial to the background colors of the different switches. So an intuitive one might be the background color of our rain switches, because sports cars race in the rain, is a light blue. And it would always have to be reflective because those cars also, you know, race at night. And then to be able to make things different, like the font sizes, so it's very intricate details, all the way down to the anatomy of pit stops, where your feet are placed, the body motions and body movements, but making sure that people are safe, but getting the most efficient movements. And then to bring it into a company, is really about making things very focused upon people and how we come together as a group. So one thing that Nicole always says is that, you know, when it comes to a race car, each individual part makes up the whole. However, each individual part is vitally important, and the people that are working on that part are vitally important. Their energy, if they had a fight with a spouse or things like that, they bring that into the company. They bring that into their relationships, and they bring that into the car and what they're working on. And so the same goes true with any of the colleagues and team members that we have in the company, is that that's why we really want to take that holistic approach, that holistic wellness approach, so that we are making sure that every aspect of the people that we work with are in balance, at least as best as we can be. And so what they choose to do outside of the company is obviously free will, and it's up to them. But we want to be able to provide that platform and that education and that support system for them so that we can work better together as a whole. I hope that was
Gail,
3 minutes. It might have been 3.2 minutes. I don't know.
It's okay. All is forgiven. You're adopted. You're in the family now. It's okay. Jessica, Nicole, and Gail, I want to be crystal clear, and I want to be transparent. Anything that you have and you need me to blast on my social media, share with me so I can, you know, because I want to get the information out and what you're doing. If there's any races coming up, if you're going to be in certain cities or different cities, please don't hesitate to send it to me so I can, you know, I don't have a problem, because this is something positive what you're doing. You're empowering women. You're changing a generation. You're changing a lifestyle. You know, and when I mean lifestyle, I'm not necessarily talking about, ooh, someone's going to be rich. For me, rich doesn't mean money. It means I'm going to eat healthier. I'm going to live healthier. I'm going to be productive to society. That's what I think about when I'm talking about rich. So you guys are doing phenomenal, phenomenal things. I'm so proud of you. I can't wait to get each of you on a one-on-one interview, because tonight I don't know what time I'm going to go to bed tonight, because I am so excited. I'm so elated. My husband's looking at me, and he has his thumbs up, and, you know, he's like behind the closed doors. He doesn't really talk publicly and do any of that, but for him to be in this interview, sit down next to me, and he's high-fiving me and doing thumbs up, I'm like, I'm the greatest wife in 2016. I hope this carries over in 2017. So I better not tell him about that outfit I bought. I better not tell him how much I spent on his credit card.
I just want to interject and say something here, if I could,
sure.
Gail.
Sure.
Well, I love it that you're giving us all these kudos, but I think that it's really important to highlight what you're doing as well. You know, and it doesn't matter where you start. I mean, you left a successful corporate career because you were following your joy and your passion and your bliss and your higher calling to do something where you can bring women together that are really making a difference in this world, making a difference in their communities and the lives of their families. And for you to be able to have this platform, and we will do whatever we can to assist you in getting this as far as on television or, you know, to a higher level, because I believe that this is truly where we need to be supporting each other, is with each other's passions, especially when it's going to benefit the whole and benefit communities. And also for Nicole and Jessica, just to kind of give you a little tidbit, Nicole, there's never been kale that Nicole doesn't like. Nicole could make up her own cookbook of kale, of the 1,001 ways to make kale. She's the most incredible cook, and she makes kale salad in all these different ways, and she's always feeding and nurturing people, and she's just so interested in being there and supportive, and would just, you know, not to get all nudist colony on us, but she would give the shirt off her back for anybody. And Jessica, who just loves the ocean, is an ocean activist, she's a big fan of Cheetos, so you might want to say something about that, Jessica.
Wait. I'm going to bring you guys back because we're like on third, 6 seconds, and
Gail, you basically gave me the bus pass or however I'm going to get to Nicole's house, because the fact you mentioned Kale, that's going to be an issue, so I'm going to be there. Jessica, I'm coming to California because you're going to teach me how to surf. Gail, you're going to see me every day. I'm going to call you every day. So, you know, again, I want to thank you women for being on the show. It was wonderful. I'm going to, for those listening, I have Jessica, Gail, and Nicole. They're phenomenal women. We'll do an after show about this. Next week's show, we're going to have lupus activist Ms. Sita Bryant. We're going to talk about how she used her gifts to transform pain into purpose, which is going to be a great show. Tonight, I am honored. I thank God, the man above, for allowing this show to exist. Thank you, ladies, and have a wonderful, wonderful evening. Good night.
Thank you. We love you.
Thank you.
We love you, too. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
A Wendy's Frosty is something special. And for a limited time, a Frosty is just 50 cents. An American classic for a classic price. It's not quite a milkshake, not quite an ice cream cone. It's definitely chocolate or vanilla. That choice is on you. Use a spoon or a French fry. Anything goes. A Frosty makes summer special. Yep, there's nothing quite like a Frosty. And there's nothing quite like this deal. A Frosty for 50 cents. Get yours before this deal melts away. Small Frosty at participating Wendy's for a limited time.